You're listening to a Peak Media production.
And now, coming to you from the Windy City, it's The Daily Dime with your host, Tim Keller.
Welcome everyone to this Thursday edition of The Daily Dime. Today is May 8th and we had some playoff insanity in the NBA and the NHL last night, so let's talk about it. All right, so we'll start off in the NBA where we had Game 2 between the Knicks and the Celtics in Boston. Obviously, Knicks came in leading this one 1-0 after their stunning victory in Game 1. And this was kind of a blowout from the beginning. The Celtics went up really early in this one. They held the Knicks just 13 points in the first quarter. And they were eventually up by 20 with only 3 minutes left in the third. And I was thinking, this game is pretty much over. I actually had to go out and run an errand real quick, and I didn't think twice about this game changing at all. And I got back. There were 18 seconds left, and the Celtics were up by one. And I was like, what happened? Like, how did they do this again? It was exactly like game one. And so I had to go back and rewind a little bit and watch to see what happened. But yeah, the Knicks just kind of chipped away and came all the way back. And so anyway, to close out the game, there were 18 seconds left. They end up, the Knicks had the ball. They end up getting fouled. Brunson knocks down two free throws to take a 91-90 lead. Celtics get the ball. They don't call a timeout to advance it, which I actually like. Unless you're going to try and get a really quick shot and you assume you're going to miss and try and play the foul game for the last 8 to 10 seconds, then sure, you can do that. But if you're just going to try and take the last shot, then I like not advancing. And I think it allows you to get some momentum up the floor and kill some of that time, because if you are going to take essentially the last shot, you don't want that to come with 5 seconds left. So anyway, Tatum gets the ball, brings it down, starts to drive left, and he ends up getting forced out a little bit further to the left when he tried to penetrate, turns around, tries to pass it off, gets stolen. Knicks throw the ball up in the air, game over, 91-90, 2-0 series lead with winning both games on the road. Just crazy craziness. I don't think anyone expected this. I know I for sure didn't. And Tatum just looked so uncomfortable on that last possession. Like, he's a guy who's normally so confident. You know, he always talks about Kobe. He has the Mamba mentality, whatever. And it looked like he couldn't even dribble on, like, he was trying to go left. He looked like Jaylen Brown trying to use his left. And he almost lost it twice before he did eventually turn it over. But anyway, so the Celtics blow another big lead. And I'm shocked. You have both teams in the East down 0-2 that I thought could have been the two best teams in the league. And I did not see this at all. Obviously with the Cavs, you have some injuries there, but with the Celtics, this is just completely shocking. So anyway, Cat had a big game for the Knicks. He was 9-for-16 from the field, 21 points, 17 rebounds. So really solid game from him. And Josh Hart actually played really well too. He had a very similar stat line. He was 9-for-15 from the field. He hit three threes, had 23 points, six boards. So really solid game from him. Brunson wasn't as great. He kind of had his typical stat line, like 6-for-19. Like, that's not too far off from the norm, but he only had four free throw attempts. So only finished with 17 points, but he did have the final six for the Knicks in the last 2 minutes there, which got them the win. So did what they needed to do, and neither team really shot well from three. That was the big story in game one, especially for the Celtics. But the Knicks were just 9-for-31 in this one, so they were 29%. The Celtics were 10-for-40, so 25%, and still just not really able to find their groove from beyond the arc. And no one had a particularly good game for them. Tatum was 5-for-19 from the field. He only had 13 points. He did have 14 rebounds, but we talked about this the other day. When you start having playoff minutes and guys are playing 42 to 46 minutes a night, like, you're going to get rebounds and assists just by the fact that you're in the game that long. Jaylen Brown was only 8-for-23 from the field. Derek White was only 6-for-17. Al Horford was only 2-for-11. Just not a good night for the Celtics. So even though they had that lead, obviously squandered it again. And now they're in a huge, huge hole. And I'm just not really sure what to think about either of these series in the East now. Like I said, I thought these could have been the two best teams in the league. And I want to think that they have a chance to win still. But it looks so bleak. And when it comes to the Celtics, now they got to go on the road and play in Madison Square Garden twice. Already down 0-2. I mean, even if they split, it's going to be really tough to come back from 3-1. I think they have the ability to win both games in New York, but it's going to be difficult. And then on the Cavs side, like, I don't think that the Pacers are as good as the Knicks, so I think they would have a better chance to pull off the comeback. But I just don't know who's going to be playing for them. I don't know if Garland's going to be available, or Mobley, or DeAndre Hunter. I don't know who's going to be there. And even without them, I think they could still be competitive. But Donovan Mitchell was banged up at the end of last game. They did have two nights off. They don't play today, so that could help them. But I just don't know. I wouldn't be surprised if either team came back and made it competitive, but I don't know if I'd bet on either of them at this point. So, yeah, the East is just a mess, not what we were expecting at all. But so that was the first game last night, and then we had the second game of our doubleheader between the Nuggets and the Thunder in Oklahoma City. Just like in the Celtics series, the Nuggets came away and stole game one in OKC. So they came in, obviously, up 1-0 in the series. But then this one was just over from essentially the tip. It seemed like the Thunder could not miss. They were on absolute fire in the first half. They scored 87 points in the first half, which was, I believe, tied for the record for the most points in a half in any playoff game ever. And it was the most in the first half ever. They were up 45-21 at the end of the first, 87-56 at halftime. And then it only got worse from there. They outscored them by 17 in the third. And obviously by then, most of the starters were out. So their lead kind of squandered a little bit after that, but they still won by 43. Final score was 149-106. They only scored three fewer points in the first half than the Celtics did all game. and to be fair, only four fewer than the Knicks as well. Just dominance offensively from them. And a lot of that stemmed from SGA. I've given him a ton of heat, just saying he's essentially like, you know, a foul baiter, a shot chucker. He's been inefficient, but honestly, he was incredible. He was 11 for 13 from the field. Like I said, it just felt like he, and frankly, everyone else could not miss. He was 11 for 11 from the free throw line, finished with 34 points. His plus minus was plus 51, which is just staggering for an NBA game. So he was fantastic, but Jalen Williams was great. Hartenstein was great. Chet was great. I mean, it was an all-around effort, and obviously none of their numbers ended up being crazy. I mean, no one dropped like 60 because they didn't play that many minutes, but just insane game from the Thunder. And this is what I thought would happen in game one. I thought they would blow out the Nuggets, and I just from the series that they played with the Clippers, I thought they would be worn down and not ready, but I think it finally caught up with them in game two. So at the end of the day, though, even though it's a blowout, it's still 1-1 in the series. Denver probably just at least needs a split at home. But if they win both, they're obviously going to be in control of that one. And I think they'll still be fine. Like I said, I think it just finally caught up with them. But I think they'll play well at home. Oklahoma City can still be a juggernaut at times, and we saw that last night. So I think they still win the series, but I think Denver's going to make it competitive. So that was our final game yesterday. Tonight, we only have one game. We have the Warriors and the Timberwolves in Minnesota. It's game two. Obviously, the Warriors lead this series 1-0 as well. Before that Oklahoma City win last night, the underdogs were 7-0 in the second round. It just has been craziness. And what's wild is, like, these have not been small lines. Like, these have been heavy, heavy underdogs. Like, I'm talking 8, 9, 10, 11 points that these teams have been underdogs, and they're 7-0. Like, not that they covered, not that they played well. Like, they outright won the first seven games of the second round. And so we've got another big spread tonight. Minnesota, they're 10.5-point favorites, and largely because Steph is out. So Steph's going to miss at least games 2, 3, and 4 with his hamstring injury, and then he'll be reevaluated, so he may miss even more time. But, you know, the Warriors, they're one of those organizations, they just seem to do everything right, at least for the past 10 to 15 years. And I think they're going to have these guys ready to play. Jimmy has proven time and time again, especially with his time in Miami, where he can really put the team on his back if he needs to. And, you know, they've still got other players too. And they always seem to get the best out of their role players. They're kind of like the Celtics. Like, especially during like their era where Brad Stevens was the head coach. Like, if you were trading, I would never trade for a guard for the Celtics that was averaging like 20 points a game, because you're going to give up like 3 first round picks. That guy's going to come and average 11 a game for you and be gone in 2 years. Like, they find a way to squeeze everything out of their players. And that's kind of what I expect from the Warriors here. So obviously really tough to see them winning without Steph. He's just still so dynamic and changes the way that teams have to guard them and the way they do everything when they play them. And I think Minnesota will bounce back, but they've struggled shooting. And if they continue to struggle to shoot and the Warriors keep playing great defense, they're going to be in every single game, no matter who they have out there. So very curious to see how it plays out tonight. I don't think they'll lose by, like, I think they'll cover basically. I think Jimmy's going to play really well. I think Draymond's going to step up and some of their other guys like Pajemski and others, but yeah, tough to see them winning the series still if Steph is going to miss the remainder of it. Now, if he only misses 2, 3, and 4 and they're able to like split at home, you know, you still have a chance. But yeah, I'm just not completely sold if they don't have him. So yeah, we'll see what happens tonight there. And then we also had 2 games in the NHL last night. The first was between the Panthers and the Maple Leafs in Toronto. And this one was 3-2 through 2 with Toronto leading. And then Lundell scored like 6 minutes into the third period for Florida to tie the game. And then Mitch Marner scored immediately after to take the lead again for the Maple Leafs. And that was the final 4-3. So they now take a 2-0 series lead as that series heads down to Florida. And then the second game we had was between the Stars and the Jets in Winnipeg. This was game 1 of that series, and all the scoring was in the second period for this one. Nothing in the first, nothing in the third. We had 5 goals in the second, but 3 of them went to Mikko Rantanen with his second hat trick in as many games to give the Stars a 3-2 win and a 1-0 series lead in the second round of the Stanley Cup playoffs for them. So those were our games last night. We have 2 more tonight. We have the Caps hosting the Hurricanes. Carolina leads that series 1-0, so Washington will need to win this one at home to avoid going down 0-2, just like the Cavs and the Celtics, before heading on the road. And then following that, we'll have the Golden Knights hosting the Oilers, with Edmonton leading that series 1-0 as well. So same exact scenario for the Knights in that one. But with that, we will just about wrap it up for this Thursday episode of The Daily Dime. As always, thank you for listening, and if you would, please consider following the show and rating 5 stars on Apple or Spotify or wherever else you may listen. We'll talk to you tomorrow. See ya.